Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to a world, let's face it, don't know God for sure, and definitely is in deep need of more love, don't you think? I mean, take a look around, my friends. There's a lot of bad news bears out there. How can I take the good news of Jesus Christ and apply it into my daily living so that I can become a light in this darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day. And that's what this show is all about. And I am so glad you could join us today. Oh, we got a good one. What do you say? We quiet our minds, put ourselves in the presence of God. You know, the language of God is silence, yet we spend so much time fighting the silence. We're afraid of silence. Let us enter into the presence of God because He's got a lesson for you today, my friend. The only question is, are you ready to hear it? We're going to school. Are you ready to be the student? We are hearing from the Gospel of Mark, and it's a long gospel, and boy, but there's a whole lot in it. So open up those ears. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around Him, and He stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came forward. Seeing Him, he fell at His feet and pleaded earnestly with Him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay your hands on her that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed Him and pressed upon Him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind Him in the crowd and touched His cloak. She said, "If I but touch His clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately, her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from Him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But His disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And He looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told Him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While she was still speaking, or while He was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany Him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, He caught sight of the commotion, people weeping, wailing loudly. So He went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed Him. Then He put them out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kwam," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord, what a gospel it is. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about this gospel and a few other things here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living.
Hi.
This is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Today we find ourselves in the Gospel of Mark, 5th chapter, if you're following along at home. And of course, we're looking for the deeper meanings because this is what we do. And as so often is the case with our scripture today, there's a whole lot to be gleaned from this text, because more than one pearl of wisdom presents itself. And that's what's so great about reading scripture. You know, it's not like any other book. The thing about the Bible is that no matter how often you read it, you're going to find something new just about every time. Another pearl or diamond will appear, because unlike any other book, the Bible is alive. But speaking of diamonds, did you know that the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C. has one of the, well, if not the largest diamonds in the world? It's called the Hope Diamond. Never seen it myself, but my brother has. I'm told it's worth about $250 million. Now, if you were to take this diamond, this Hope Diamond, and hold it up into the light, which, by the way, they're not going to let you do, but if you could, you would see thousands of facets of light that would dance in this diamond, sparkle in the sun. And that is what the Bible is. Reading scripture is like holding the Hope Diamond up into the sun. All kinds of things are going to come out. But the sun you're holding it up to in the case of his word is his own son, because the Hope Diamond of the Bible is Jesus. And all kinds of colors come flying out. Now, when you consider light itself, it has no color. Light is generic. A scientist will tell you that the bands of color are actually inside the light in what we know as the spectrum, which is what you see in a rainbow. But you can't see the colors that are inside the light unless you hold it up to a prism. And the prism for the Bible is Jesus, as he presents himself alive in his word. And that is why it is only through God's word that we are able to see the many colors and sides of Jesus. I guess what I'm trying to say, in a very long-winded and clumsy way, is that the secrets of the kingdom reveal themselves through his word, which is not going to happen if you're just sitting around thinking about God. So read your Bible. Today I want to talk about one facet, one little ray that comes out of this gospel. And of course, there are many. Because today I want to talk about the difference between belief versus faith, and how these two interact. And I know we've talked about this a time or two in the past, but we need to keep in mind that the Daily Living Empire is growing leaps and bounds every week, and we got to catch up to new people. Now, getting back to that Hope Diamond, I believe that there is a Hope Diamond in the Smithsonian Institute in D.C. Like I said, never been there, but I believe it because, well, my brother told me that he saw it. And the one thing I know about my brother through the years is that he speaks truth. Not that he's always right, but he doesn't just make things up or exaggerate wildly like maybe some others in the family might be prone to do. So I have faith in what my brother tells me because through the years I've seen evidence that he speaks truth. So since he has seen the Hope Diamond, that's good enough for me. So I have faith that the Hope Diamond is there. Now, in our gospel today, we're going to watch belief move through the doorway of faith. But before we get into it, let's do what we always do, which is, of course, put our gospel in its context. Because if I've said it once, said a million times, you cannot consider scripture in isolation. Well, I guess you can, but We don't here at Daily Living. So where are we? Well, we're in the fifth chapter of Mark. What has just happened? The fourth chapter of Mark. And Jesus is down by the sea and is surrounded by a large crowd as he is attempting to be prism in regards to the mysteries of the kingdom. He's taken the light of truth and he's refracting it through a parable. And in this case, the parable is a farming story. Some reckless and obviously incompetent farmer is throwing seed, which is very valuable, and it's falling everywhere. Some's falling on a path, some falling on a thorn, some falling on rocky ground, some falling on good soil. And everybody's looking at each other going, you know, who is this man? Who is this man? And what is he talking about? But getting back to that Hope Diamond, imagine you had never seen a diamond before in your life. Or imagine you had to try to explain to somebody else what a diamond was who's never seen one. And where would you even start? Well, it's a really hard rock, you know, and it's see-through, and it does some really cool things with light. I mean, it would be like trying to explain a sunset to a man born blind, or a rainbow, or clouds. I mean, where would you even begin? Well, this is where we find Jesus today, in the fourth chapter of Mark. He is trying to explain the unexplainable. The kingdom of God is like, he's trying to describe the indescribable. The finger of God entering into human history, scattering seed everywhere. But such is the reckless love of the Father for you, my friend. And whether that seed grows, or whether that seed is choked out, or whether that seed withers and dies, seems to have everything to do with what kind of soil it finds itself landing, prompting the obvious question, what kind of soil is that seed landing in you these days? So, next thing comes up is they get back in the boat, they go to the other side, and as they're going, a violent squall kicks up, which we talked all about last week with the storm at sea. And if you were with us, we had noted that it was not unusual, and still isn't today, on the Sea of Galilee, given the topography, to have a beautiful day, clear blue skies, no clouds on the horizon. And then suddenly, without warning, boom, you're in the middle of a storm, which is kind of how life is. So in the middle of the storm, Jesus is asleep and they wake him up in panic. They're like, we're going to die. We're going to die. Jesus stands up, looks around, puts his finger to his lips and says, shh. And immediately, nothing. Sea goes glass. Just the sound of distant seagulls. He turns to his disciples. He says, why are you so terrified? Don't you have faith? And the short answer to that question is no, not yet. I mean, they'll get there in time, but at this time, they don't have faith. They got a lot of love for Jesus, but no faith yet. Now, next up is the story of the demon-possessed man chained in the graveyard. So this guy is as unclean as it gets. He's known throughout the region. He's feared by the people. Jesus walks up on him and says, unclean spirits, leave. And they do. So not only does Jesus have the power over the spirits to tell them to leave, he has the power to tell them where to go. And in this case, is in the pigs. And of course, the pigs rush down the hill, over the cliff, into the lake and drown, which upset some people. So they asked Jesus to leave, which of course he does, because Jesus is not rude and he will not abide. He will not dwell. He's not going to hang out where he is not welcome. So as we approach our gospel today and the lesson to come, and trust me, there is a lesson coming. We see that Jesus clearly demonstrates that he has power over both the natural world as he calms the storm at sea, as well as power over the unnatural world as he drives out the demons from the demoniac. So Jesus gets back into the boat, returns to the other side, to his people. He was in the Badlands, the land of the Gentiles, pagan lands, as evidenced by pig farming. Now he's going back to his own people. He's moving from the unclean to the clean and righteous. And the first person he runs into is Jairus, who is the pinnacle example of what a Jew would consider to be righteous. Because, of course, he's an official of the synagogue. Meaning, if you want to get to God in that neighborhood, you went through Jairus, a man who could guide you in the ways of righteousness so that God would bless you. But he's also a man who could point his finger at you and say, your sin has made you unclean, so don't come around here anymore. So we're talking about a pretty powerful guy, but not today. Standing tall in a starched white pressed tunic, probably wearing a colorful sash to denote his rank, Jairus has a secret. His young daughter, who he loved more than life itself, is dying. And all that he has learned at the knees of the rabbis through the years is failing him. The doctors, the home remedies, the prayers, nothing is working. But he's hearing these reports. Some renegade preacher with supposedly mystical powers over the natural and unnatural world. Of course, the higher-ups don't like him. They consider him to be some kind of vagabond wannabe preacher, son of a carpenter, zero Levitical training, born under suspicious circumstances, someone only an ignorant peasant would be foolish enough to follow. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back, and we will continue to talk about this amazing gospel that comes to us here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Not just for the break, we were introduced to Jairus, a synagogue official. He is a broken man. He's at the last house on the last street. His daughter is dying. He's willing to try anything. He's heard numerous reports. He wants so bad to believe. So he throws himself at the knees of Jesus, which must have been pretty incredible. I mean, there must have been a collective gasp among the people. Because let me tell you, my friend, when he went down on his knees, his reputation, his authority, his allegiances, all of that went down with him. That starched white tunic was getting dirty now. And I can only imagine his friends, because I'm sure they knew all about his daughter. And they were probably sympathetic, but this, please, I imagine they must have been embarrassed. Did they run over for backup? No. Why? Because Jairus was alone. Why? Because when hell comes to visit you, you're alone. That's just the way it works. And that's where he is. Ever been there before? Everything he knew, everything he fought for over the years, all of that was bringing him to this moment to buckle before this strange traveling preacher. Why? Because he loved that little girl more than anything else. More than his status, more than his reputation. And you know, she was dying. And you know what else? So was he. Oh, did he believe? I don't know, but he sure wanted to believe. And what got him there? I'll tell you what got him there. Pain got him there. And boy, isn't that true. It so often requires pain to get us to our knees. But God will use our pain. And he's just about to do it with Jairus as he walks his belief through the doorway of faith, which is exactly what happens for so many of us. Now the story takes a surprising turn. and it comes in the form of an interruption, which again is exactly how God works in our life. And God often presents himself to us in the form of interruption. So we interrupt this miracle to present you with, yes, another miracle. Because as Jesus is walking along with Jairus, pushing through the crowd, trying to get to his daughter, there's a woman crawling through the same crowd in pursuit, and she has a secret. Starting with the fact that according to Mosaic law, she shouldn't even be there because she's been bleeding for years, which makes her unclean according to Levitical law. She would have been banished. You can't touch this woman. You can't even brush up against her lest you become unclean. And of course, the theology of the day would have blamed the bleeding on her own sin. So she's getting what she deserves. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all she had, which is an interesting detail because we can assume that at one time, at least, this woman was a woman of means, because she could even afford a doctor. And according to this, she's been to many. And none of them helped her. So very much like Jairus, what was once high has now been brought low. We find her literally crawling through the crowd. A crowd who, if they knew she was there, might even have her stoned to death. So she, very much like Jairus, is in hell. But something in the middle of that hell is whispering in her ear. Something way deep down inside is whispering, if I can only get to him, if I can only touch the tassel of his garment, I'll be cured. Now, where do you suppose she got that? I mean, really, where did she get that idea? I mean, I imagine, like Jairus, she had heard about Jesus. Maybe she saw his boat pull up. Maybe she saw the crowds and she thought, I got to get to him. I know that the Hope Diamond is here if I could just get to it. So we see her belief is much different than any belief that Jairus might have had. Because while he really wanted to believe, she already does. She's coming for her miracle, and my friends, she ain't leaving till she gets it. She's got a toehold of faith, clinging to a sheer wall of belief. Something deep inside of her is whispering, just touch him. Something deep inside of her, that quiet voice, the next right thing to do, just touch the hem of his garment. And so that's exactly what she does. And then I love this. I love this because Jesus feels the power go out of him. So in this moment, something comes out of Jesus. And whatever it is, it was physical. The love of God hit the Hope Diamond and the colors of healing came flying out. It says that Jesus felt it and so did she. I mean, it was electric. It was like static electricity when you walk on carpet. Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? And disciples are like, are you kidding? Really? Are you serious? Who touched you? We got the huge crowd. They're all pressing up. Who didn't touch you? Meanwhile, this woman, oh, she is so busted. She is so busted. She falls to her knees. She confesses everything. And Jesus says, my daughter, your faith has saved you. Doesn't call her miss. Doesn't call her missus. Doesn't call her ma'am or lady or friend. He calls her family, which means not only is she healed, she's fully restored. Meanwhile, some people show up and said, hey, Jairus, no need to bother the teacher anymore because she's already dead. I mean, can you imagine that? Hold on, Jairus. I mean, he wanted to believe. Jesus said, do not be afraid. Just have faith. Now, I'm fairly confident that Jairus would have known this woman who has just been healed. He has just seen the Hope Diamond in action. So he's holding on. He just keeps moving, one foot in front of the other, one toehold of faith after another. They finally get to the house, and the crowds are wailing. Jesus says, the child is not dead, she is sleeping, and they laugh at him. Doesn't that sound familiar? How often does our world make fun of Jesus, mocking him openly? And boy, aren't they confident. until the storm comes. Then who do they cry out to? Or better yet, who's listening? Jesus takes this little girl by the hand and says, "Talitha quam," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." My friends, hear me when I say he is saying that to you today. Arise from this natural world. Arise from the unnatural world. Arise from your disease. Arise from your depression. Arise from your struggle. Arise from death. Arise. And he reached out his hand, lifted the girl up, and said, "Arise." And she does. And you know, when that woman who was hemorrhaging blood touched his tassel, she traded her uncleanliness for his cleanliness. Because Jesus defiled himself to undefile her. And with the little girl, he took her death and gave his life. A glorious exchange, my friend. An exchange that he is ready and willing to make with you today. Because guess what? That's what the cross is all about. The Hope Diamond. It will take your death and offer you life. The only question we gotta ask ourselves is, are we ready to receive it? You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is B1. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. I hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.